بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam till Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 18th hadith from the compilation of Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah. And it is the hadith of Abu Dharr Al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu. عن أبي ذر جندب بن جنادة وأبي عبد الرحمن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي بعض النسخ حسن صحيح. This hadith has been narrated by two virtuous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first of them Abu Dharr Jundub ibn Junadah, and the second of them Abu Abdurrahman Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhuma, upon the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said ittaqillaha haythuma kunt, have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, and follow up a bad deed by doing a good deed, it will wipe it away. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and interact with the people with good manners or with a good character. And the hadith has been collected by At-Tirmidhi, and he said حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ, and in some of the compilations he said Hasanun Sahih. So as usual, we'll begin by discussing the narrator of the hadith, and he is the famous companion Abu Dharr Al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, and his name is, as the author Imam An-Nawawi mentioned, Jundub ibn Junadah, and he's from the tribe Al-Ghaffar, Bani Al-Ghaffar, and therefore he is given the Nasab Al-Ghaffari. And this tribe, Bani al-Ghaffar, they are found towards the north of Al-Hijaz, towards the north of Al-Madinah. And his mother, her name was Ramlah bint al-Waqi'ah al-Ghaffariyah, and she also accepted Al-Islam. Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu was one of the early Muslims, one of the early Muslims who accepted Islam from the Sabiqeen, from the early Muslims. And it is said that he was the fourth or fifth person to accept Al-Islam. And he was also famous because he was from those very few companions who openly proclaimed their Islam in front of the Quraysh. So the majority of the Sahaba in the early times, when they were in Mecca, they would hide their Islam. And when they prayed, they would hide their Salah. And even when they made Hijrah, then they made Hijrah and it was hidden. They did not tell the people. Amongst the companions who would openly announce their Islam is Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. And as I mentioned, Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari is from this qabila, from this tribe, Banu Ghaffar. And they were situated in the north of Al-Hijaz, towards the north of Al-Madinah. And as you know, the Quraysh, they were known for trading, in that they would go towards the north to Sham and they would buy and sell stock, and then they would go back towards Mecca, and then they would go towards the south, Yemen, and they would buy and sell merchandise. And this was the trade of many of them. So in the summer, when the weather was warm, they would go to the north. And in the winter, When the weather became cold, they would go to the south in Yemen. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in Surah Al-Quraysh. He said, رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, the journeying and the travelling of the winter and the summer, i.e. the winter when it is cold, and so you go towards the south where it is warmer, towards Yemen, and in the summer when it becomes very warm, so you go towards the north, meaning Syria, where the weather is cooler. And Bani al-Ghaffar, they were one of the landmarks or the places whereby the traders would pass by, going from Yemen to Sham. And Bani al-Ghaffar were known for one thing, and that is that they were bandits and highway robbers. So because the traders, the travelers, because they passed by their settlements, as the caravans passed by, then Bani al-Ghaffar would they would rob or they would raid these caravans. And this is what they became famous for. So they were known for their bravery and courage, but at the same time they were known for having a criminal element within them. And that is, they were bandits and highway robbers, raiding the travelers who went by. And Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, before Islam, was also known for this. In fact, it's known that he was one of the better bandits, meaning he was skilled in banditry and he was courageous when it came to robbing the caravans. And this was his main income and the income of the tribe, in that they would rob these travelers. However, at the same time, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he was still upon his fitrah, in the sense that he never worshipped idols. So even though he was involved in this crime, but he never worshipped idols, he still had inside him the fitrah of at-tawheed, that this paganism and worshipping idols, it doesn't make sense. There can only be one deity who is to be worshipped. And therefore, he was always looking for the truth, which agreed with his fitrah. So when news came to him that there is a man in Mecca whose name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he calls to the worship of one Lord, one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he forbids all forms of idol worship, then he was attracted to this message. And he himself, he mentions the story of how he became a Muslim. And the story has been narrated by Ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, كُنْتُ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْغَفَّارِ, that I was a man from amongst the tribe of Ghaffar. فَبَلَغَنَا أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَدْ خَرَجَ بِمَكَّةِ, and information reached us that there is a man who has appeared in Mecca. يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ, and this man, he claims that he is a prophet. فَقُلْتُ لِأَخِي, so I said to my brother, and the name of his brother was Unais, انطلق إلى هذا الرجل فكلمه وأتني بخبره, go to this man, go to Mecca, go meet this man, speak to him, and then inform me of that which he is saying. فانطلق فلقيه, so my brother, he traveled from the north and he went to Mecca and he met this man. ثم رجع, and then he returned. فقلت ما عندك, so I said to my brother, what do you have with you? Meaning, what information do you have with you? What do you know about this man? فقال والله لقد رأيت رجلا يأمر بالخير وينهى عن الشر, he said, by Allah, I saw a man who calls to goodness and he forbids evil. فقلت له, so I Abu Dharr, I said to my brother, لم تشفني من الخبر, that this information isn't enough for me. فأخذت جرابا وعصا, so I took a bag, meaning a bag full of dates, and a stick. ثم أقبلت إلى مكة, and then I traveled towards Mecca. So when he entered into Mecca, he says, فجعلت لا أعرفه, I did not know who this man was. So Abu Dharr and Bani Ghaffar, they had only heard of the appearance of a man. They didn't know who he was, what he looked like. He wasn't from the same tribe. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu went to Mecca not knowing anything about this man. وَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَسْأَلَ عَنْهُ. And at the same time, I didn't want to ask anybody regarding him, because the majority of the people at that time are his enemies. So if they find out that this man has come from Banu Ghaffar and he's asking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perhaps they will harm him. He said, وَأَشْرَبُ مِنْ مَاءِ زَمْزَمْ وَأَكُونُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. So I remained in the masjid and drinking the water of Zamzam. فَمَرَّ بِي عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And then Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he passed by me. فَقَالْ كَأَنَّ رَجُلْ غَرِيبٌ. So he said, it's as if you're a stranger, meaning you're not from the people of Mecca. It's as if you are a traveler. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. I said, yes. قَالْ فَانْطَلِقْ إِلَى الْمَنْزِلِ. So he said to him, come with me. Let's go to my residence, my house, because he is a traveler. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, فَانْطَلَقْتُ مَعَهُ لَا يَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ وَلَا أُخْبِرُهُ. So I went with Ali radiallahu anhu, and he did not question me about anything, and neither did I inform him about anything. He says, فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْتُ غَدَوْتُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. So when I woke up the next morning, I left for the masjid. لا أسأل عنه. However, I did not ask anybody regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وليس أحد يخبرني عنه بشيء. And neither did anybody inform me about this man Muhammad ibn Abdullah. فمر بي علي. And then once again, Ali, he passed by me. فقال ما أمرك. He said, what do you need? Why have you come to Mecca? وما أقدمك هذه البلدة. And what has made you come to this city of Mecca? فَقُلْتُ. So I said to him, إِن كَتَمْتَ عَلَيَّ أَخْبَرْتُكَ. That I will inform you if you keep my affair secret. It's only between me and you. قَالَ فَإِنِّي أَفْعَلْ. So Ali said to him, okay, I will keep it private. قُلْتُ لَهُ. I said to him, بَلَغَنَا أَنَّهُ قَدْ خَرَجَ هَاهُنَا رَجُلٌ. The story has reached us, the news has reached us, that there is a man here in Mecca who has appeared. يزعم أنه نبي. And he claims he is a prophet. فأرسلت أخي ليكلمه. So I sent my brother to go speak to him. فرجع ولم يشفني من الخبر. So he went and spoke to this man. He came back to me, but the information he gave me is not enough. فأردت أن ألقاه. So I hoped and I wanted to meet this man. علي رضي الله عنه, he said to him, أما إنك قد رشدت. He said, verily, you have been guided. هَذَا وَجْهِ إِلَيْهِ فَاتَّبِعْنِي. He said, I am going to walk towards his direction, so you follow after me. And remember, at this time, it's still very early on. Only 3 or 4 people have accepted Al-Islam. And as I mentioned, Abu Dharr, he was the 4th or 5th person to accept Islam. So at this time, the message of the Prophet is secret. And the enemies are many. And all of them are fearful of the Quraysh. So this is why Ali radiallahu anhu did not say to him, I'll take you to the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'll walk towards that direction and you just walk behind me so nobody knows. He says, Udkhul haythu adkhul. And wherever I enter, then you enter as well. فَإِنِّي إِن رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكَ. And if I see anybody regarding whom I am suspicious that he is threatening you or he is a danger, he says, قُمْتُ إِلَى الْحَائِثِ. I will then stand near a wall. كَأَنِّي أَصْلُحُ نَعْلِي. As if I am fixing my sandals. وَمْضِي أَنْتَ. And then you walk away. So this is like a signal to him that if I see any danger approaching or somebody who might harm you, then I'll pretend to stand near a wall. And if you see me fixing my sandals or pretending to fix my sandals, then you know this is danger, so walk away. He says, Abu Dharr, فَمَضَى وَمَضَيْتُ مَعَهُ. So he carried on walking and I walked with him. حَتَّى دَخَلَ وَدَخَلْتُ مَعَهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Until he entered a house and I entered with him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ أَعْرِضْ عَلَيَّ الْإِسْلَامِ. I said to him, meaning Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, show me Islam, tell me about al-Islam. فَعَرَضَهُ فَأَسْلَمْتُ مَكَانِي. So when he told me about Islam, I accepted Islam straight away. Because this Islam, it already agreed with his fitrah. And many, many new Muslims, if you ask them, why did you accept Islam? Many of them will say, because it makes sense. Meaning, this Islam, this message, it is already inside their hearts. Because this is the fitrah. This is the natural, intrinsic human nature which Allah has created every single person upon. So then when this basic, clear, concise message of Islam comes to you, that there is only one creator, and this creator does not have a son or a partner or a representative like an idol or an animal or interceders or people intercede on his behalf, then this message is easily accepted. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Ya Aba Dhar, O Abu Dhar, Uktum hadha al-amr. Hide your Islam. Don't openly show your Islam in front of the people because they will harm you. So hide your Islam. Warji' ila baladik. And then go back to your land. Fa'idha balagaka dhuhurana fa'aqbil. And when you hear that we are coming out and we are gaining some ascendancy, then come to us again, because then you'll be in a state of safety with us. He says, radiallahu anhu, Abu Dhar, he says, قُلْتُ, I said to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَأَصْرَخَنَّ بِهَا بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِهِمْ. He said, I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, that I will openly say my Islam in front of all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to hide his Islam. And he said, no, I will openly proclaim my Islam in front of all of them. فَجَاءَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ وَقُرَيْشُ فِيهِ. So then he came to Masjid al-Haram. And the Quraysh, they were sitting in the masjid. فَقَالْ, so he said, يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ. He said, O gathering of Quraysh, إِنِّي أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Verily, I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshipper and his messenger. فَقَالُوا قُومُوا إِلَيْهِ. So then the Quraysh, they said, beat this person up, go towards him. فَقَامُوا فَضُرِبْتُ لِأَمُوتُ. So they all came towards me and they beat me and beat me until I was about to die. He says, فَأَدْرَكَنِي الْعَبَّاسِ. And then Al-Abbas, who was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he was not a Muslim at this time. He came and he saved me. ثُمَّ أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then he turned to the Quraysh and he said to them, وَيْلَكُمْ, woe be to you. تَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا مِّنْ غَفَّارِ. Are you going to kill this man from Ghaffar? وَمَتْجَرُكُمْ وَمُمَرُّكُمْ عَلَى Ghaffar. And your caravans, they pass by Ghaffar. And your route, your pathway is through the tribe of Ghaffar. If you beat him, if you kill him, what will the Ghaffar say to you? So the Quraysh, they left him alone. He says, فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَصْبَحْتُ الْغَدْ. So when the next morning came, رَجَعْتُ, I went back to the masjid. فَقُلْتُ مِثْلَ مَا قُلْتُ بِالْأَمْسِ. And then I said the same thing in front of the Quraysh like I had said yesterday. Meaning, Ya Ma'ashar al-Quraysh, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So they did the same thing. They said, Qumu alay. Said, go, beat this person up. فَصُنِعَ بِي مِثْلَ مَا صُنِعَ بِالْأَمْسِ. And the same thing was done to me, meaning the same beating was given to me, like the beating that was given to me yesterday. وَأَدْرَكَنِي الْعَبَّاسِ. And then Al-Abbas, he saved me. وَقَالَ مِثْلَ مَقَالَتِهِ بِالْأَمْسِ. And then he said the same thing to the Quraysh like he said yesterday. And then Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, he returned back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, O Sini, give me an advice. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised him with this hadith. And the general meaning of this hadith is that this companion, Abu Dhar al-Ghaffari, Jundub ibn Junada radiallahu anhu, he was from a people who were criminals, highway robbers, bandits, and these are the worst type of criminals. And you know that the punishment in Islam for the bandit and the highway robber is one of the most severe types of punishment because of the threat and the danger they have towards their people. And despite being a criminal, yet when he accepted Islam, he was the fourth or the fifth person to accept Islam. And in this is a lesson for all of us, that just because a person is upon a life of crime, we don't lose hope in that person. So we shouldn't say that this person, he's taking drugs or he's dealing drugs or he's drinking alcohol or he commits zina, may Allah save us from it, he will never accept Islam. We don't say this. Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari was from the worst types of criminals. And when he accepted Islam, he was from the best of the Muslims. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was from the most severe non-Muslims against the Muslims. He most severely punished the Muslims. And yet when he became a Muslim, he most severely punished the mushrikeen. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he was the most severe commander against the Muslims. He almost single-handedly defeated the Muslims at the Battle of Uhud. And when he became a Muslim, then he was from the best commanders of the Muslims. So just because a person is upon a life of crime, we don't lose hope in that person. So when this person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him with an advice which is concise and yet comprehensive. He told him three things. He first of all told him to take care of the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is his statement, اتق الله حيثما كنت. Fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. And this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then secondly, he told him to take care of his own right as a Muslim. And that is his saying, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That if you do a sin, then follow it up by doing a good deed and it will wipe away the sin. And this is the right that your soul has upon you. Don't allow your soul to be punished. So if you do a sin which should bring about the punishment of Allah, then do a good deed. And this good deed will wipe away the punishment. And then thirdly, he told him to take care of the rights of the people. He said, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And when you interact with the rest of the people, then interact with them in the best manner. And this hadith, as Hafiz al-Nawawi mentions, it was collected by At-Tirmidhi. And it has also been narrated with other wordings. So the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that he was about to go on a journey. He said, Ya Rasulullah, awsini. He said, O Messenger of Allah, admonish me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "U'budu Allah wa la tushrik bihi shay'a." Worship Allah alone and do not ascribe partners to him. Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, "Ya Rasulullah, zidni." O Messenger of Allah, give me something more. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha asa'ta fa ahsin." If you do evil, then do good. Then Mu'adh said, "Ya Rasulullah, zidni." O Messenger of Allah, give me more. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Istaqim." Be firm, وَلْتَحْسِنْ خُلُقَكْ. And let your manners be upright. So, the general theme of this hadith is that upon us as Muslims are three responsibilities. And these three responsibilities we have to fulfill. There is the right of Allah, and this is through التَّقْوَى. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ. Fear Allah or have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. Then there is your own right upon your own self. And that is, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. If you do a bad deed, then follow it up by doing a good deed and it will wipe it away. And then there is our responsibility towards the rest of the people who are around us. And that is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And interact with the people in a good way. As for the detailed meaning of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his first advice was, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ. Have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. And this word at-taqwa, which we hear all the time, what does it mean? Linguistically, in the Arabic language, it comes from the word wiqayah. And wiqayah it means any type of prevention. Ittaqi yattaqi. Or waqiya yaqiyu, yaqiya min al-wiqaya. And the meaning of wiqaya, as I mentioned, is any type of barrier or prevention or shield which protects you from something. And this is why the Arabs, they say, al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. That prevention is better than cure. This word wiqaya is also the same as at-taqwa, to prevent yourself or to place a barrier between you and something which is going to harm you. So a shield is a wiqaya. Why? Because it is a barrier. It is a prevention between that which will harm you. And as for the meaning of taqwa shar'an, then the most concise definition is أن تجعل بين نفسك وبين عقاب الله وقاية, is that you place between yourself and between the punishment of Allah a barrier, a shield. And what is this barrier which will save you from the punishment of Allah? فعل الأوامر واجتناب نواهي. That you do the commandments which Allah has commanded you with, and you stay away from the haram which Allah has forbidden you with, and this is your shield, or this is your barrier between yourself and between the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The command of taqwa in the Quran, it has come in three levels. The first level is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses humanity. And He addresses humanity with the commandment of at-taqwa. Like the saying of Allah, Jalla sha'nu, Ya ayyuhan nasu attaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Allah said, O people, O humans, O humanity, have taqwa of your Lord who created you from a single being. And like the saying of Allah, Jalla sha'nu, Ya ayyuhan nasu attaqu rabbakum inna zalzalat as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim. Allah said, O people, O humanity, have taqwa of your Lord because the shaking of the hour is something which will be very severe. So, in these two ayat and other ayat like this, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala address? Not just the believers, rather all of humanity with the command of at-taqwa. And what it means on this level is, O humanity, O mankind, accept Islam. Accept at-tawheed. Stay away from ash-shirk. And if you do this, then this is the highest level of at-taqwa. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was asked, Man al-muttaqoon? Who are the people of at-taqwa? He said, Qawmun ittaqu ash-shirk. They are people who stayed away from ash-shirk. Wa ibadat al-awthan. And they stayed away from worshipping the idols. Wa akhlasu lillahi al-ibadah. And they made their worship sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that verily Allah only accepts from the people of at-taqwa, al-muttaqeen. The scholars of tafsir said, أي الموحدين, i.e. the people of at-tawheed. Because the primary condition for the acceptance of any action is at-tawheed. So when Allah said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah only accepts from the people of at-taqwa, meaning Allah only accepts from the people of at-tawheed. So this is the first level of at-taqwa, the address which is given to all of mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, ittaqu rabbakum, have taqwa of your Lord, meaning enter into Islam, have iman, have at-tawheed, stay away from ash-shirk, stay away from worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second level, the higher level of at-taqwa, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He addresses the believers specifically. And there are many ayat in the Quran. How many ayat have you heard in which Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah, O people of iman, have taqwa of Allah. Like the saying of Allah Jalla sha'nuhu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah, wal tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. O people of iman, have taqwa of Allah, and let every person prepare for that which is coming tomorrow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. O people of iman, have taqwa of Allah and be with those who are truthful. And many ayat in the Quran. In the Quran, every Jum'ah you hear the Khatib and he mentions ayah after ayah in which Allah addresses the people of Iman with at-taqwa. So what does at-taqwa mean here? This is the level of taqwa after accepting Islam, after accepting at-tawheed. So this is a higher level of at-taqwa. And this higher level of at-taqwa means that after your Iman and after your tawheed and after entering into Islam, do the good deeds and stay away from the evil. And this is the higher level of at-taqwa. As we said, that a believer places a barrier between himself and between the punishment of Allah, and this is by fulfilling the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions. And this level of taqwa, the second level, the highest part of the second level is not only to stay away from the haram, but to also stay away from the doubtful grey matters. And in which hadith is this mentioned? Which we studied earlier, the hadith of whom? Ahsant. Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَمَنِ اتَّقِ الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. That whoever has taqwa of the shubahat, meaning whoever fears and stays away from the doubtful matters, then his religion and his honor will be safe. His dignity will be safe. So the higher level of taqwa within the second level is not only staying away from haram, but also staying away from the doubtful matters. You're not sure whether it's halal or haram. It's not clearly haram. You still stay away from it. And in fact, a higher level than this is az-zuhud. And az-zuhud, which in English is translated as asceticism, the scholars, they define it as being تَرْكُ مَا لَا بَأْسَ بِهِ حَظْرًا مِمَّا فِيهِ بَأْسِ, is that for a person to stay away from something which is not haram in the fear that it may lead to haram. This is the meaning of zuhud. That something isn't haram, but you still stay away from it because you fear that this thing may lead me to haram. And Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah from the Tabi'een, he said, مَا زَالَتِ التَّقْوَى بِالْمُتَّقِينَ حَتَّى تَرَكُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْحَلَالِ مَخَافَةً الْحَرَامِ. He said that the people of taqwa, they have this taqwa until they stay away from much of halal because they fear that it will lead them to haram. And Sufyan al-Thawri rahimullah, he said, إِنَّمَا سُمُّوا مُتَّقِينَ, that these people, the people of taqwa, they were only termed at-taqwa, they were only labeled as being the people of at-taqwa, لِأَنَّهُمْ اتَّقَوْا مَا لَمْ يُتَّقَى, because they feared those things which normally aren't feared. So halal matters, there's no reason for a person to stay away from them. You don't need to be scared of the halal matters. But those people who reach a higher level of taqwa and a higher level of zuhud, even the halal matters, they are very, very careful. And sometimes they may stay away from some of the halal matters because they fear it may lead to something which is haram. So for example, to make it easy for us, for a person to go to a restaurant and to eat from there, this is halal. So there's nothing wrong with a person, with a Muslim, going to a restaurant and he eats from a restaurant. You may find a particular person whose taqwa is a higher level, that even eating from a restaurant, he does not want to do so. He doesn't say it is haram. He knows it is halal. But why does he stay away from eating from the restaurant? Because he fears that if I go to the restaurant, then maybe I'll end up looking at women or doing something haram or going to that area which there is haram taking place. So I don't want to be in that area. So this is somebody who leaves something which is halal, even though he believes it is halal, but for the fear of it may lead to something which is haram. And then the third level of at-taqwa. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses in the Quran with at-taqwa those people who already have at-taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses the people of taqwa with at-taqwa. Like for example, the saying of Allah, Ya ayyuhan nabi ittaqillah. O Prophet, have taqwa of Allah. And is there anybody who had a higher level of taqwa than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So this level, it has a different meaning. And generally in the Quran, when somebody is commanded with something and this something he is already doing, then it means continue upon this thing. Maintain this thing. Be firm upon this thing. So when Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya ayyuhan nabi, ittaqillah, O Prophet, have taqwa of Allah. He isn't meaning the first address, meaning enter into Islam, because he's already a prophet. And he isn't meaning the second level, meaning do good deeds, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was already doing good deeds. But what he meant by this was continue upon your taqwa. Be firm upon your taqwa. Maintain your taqwa. Like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. O people of Iman, have Iman. Meaning, O people of Iman, continue upon your Iman. Be firm upon your Iman. Maintain your Iman. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said in the tafsir of this ayah, وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ بَابِ تَحْصِيلِ الْحَاصِلِ. This command isn't from the angle of commanding with something which is already taking place. بَلْ مِنْ بَابْ تَكْمِيلِ الْكَامِلِ. Rather from the angle of perfect this thing. You have Iman, now perfect your Iman. وَتَقْرِيرِهِ وَتَثْبِيتِهِ وَالْإِسْتِمْرَارِ عَلَيْهِ. And that, make this Iman firm and continue upon this Iman. Like the believer says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The believer in the Salah, he says, O Allah, guide me to the straight path. And what is the straight path? It is Al-Islam. But this person is already a Muslim. But he still says, O Allah, guide me to the straight path. What this means is, بَصِّرْنَا فِي. O Allah, give us insight upon Islam. وَزِدْنَا هُدَى. And increases in our guidance upon Al-Islam. وَثَبِّتْنَا عَلَيْهِ. And make us firm upon Al-Islam. So these are the three levels of At-Taqwa. Firstly, when Allah addresses creation or human beings generally, meaning enter into Islam and At-Tawheed. Then when he addresses the believers with At-Taqwa, meaning do the good deeds and stay away from haram, fulfill the wajibat and stay away from haram. And then the third level is when he addresses the people of Taqwa with At-Taqwa. And it means be firm upon your Taqwa and continue upon your Taqwa. The Salaf, alayhim ridwanullah, they have beautiful definitions and beautiful statements regarding At-Taqwa. It is narrated that Ali radiallahu anhu, he said regarding At-Taqwa that it is khawfun min al-jaleel. That it is a person fearing the most exalted. Wal-amal bit-tanzeel. And it is a person implementing the revelation. Wal-qana'atu bil-qaleel. And it is a person being content with a little. Wal-isti'dad li-yawm al-raheel. And it is a person preparing for the day of the journey. Meaning when a person will leave this dunya and he will go towards the akhirah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said regarding At-Taqwa, an yuti' wa la yu'si. At-Taqwa is that a person obeys and he does not disobey. Wa yadhkuru wa la yansa. And that a person remembers and he does not forget. Wa yashkuru wa la yakfur. And that a person appreciates and shows gratitude and he does not reject. And Talq ibn Habib radiallahu anhu rahimullah, he mentioned in his definition of At-Taqwa, he said, أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. It is for a person to act in accordance to the obedience of Allah. عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Due to a light, meaning an evidence which has come from Allah. لِيَرْجُو ثَوَابَ اللَّهِ. Hoping for the reward of Allah. وَيَتْرُكُ مَعْصِيَةَ اللَّهِ. And it is for a person to leave the disobedience of Allah. عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. From a light, meaning an evidence from Allah. لِأَنَّهُ يَخَافُ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ. Because he fears the punishment of Allah. And the asl of At-Taqwa is knowledge. The asl, the core driving force behind At-Taqwa is always knowledge. Because how can a person have fear of something and he doesn't know whether that thing is haram or halal? So At-Taqwa can only be based upon a knowledge. And this is why Al-Qaraqi, Al-Hanafi, rahimullah, he said, كيف يكون متقيا من لا يدري ما يتقي. How can a person be a person of taqwa and he doesn't know what he should have taqwa from? And this is why the poet, he said, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ وَلَكِنْ لِتُوَقِّيهِ. He said, I learnt about the evil, not for the sake of the evil, but so I could stay away from the evil. فَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعَ فِيهِ. Because the one who doesn't know the evil from the good will fall into the evil. حُذَيْفَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and the hadith is in the Sahihain, what did he say? كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ. That the people, they used to question the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding the good matters. وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ. However, I used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the evil. Why? مَخَافَةً أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. Because I used to fear that maybe this evil will come upon me and I don't know what that evil is. And for this reason, when we teach people the good and the evil. So we teach people Tawheed and we teach them about Ash-Shirk. So they know what Ash-Shirk is. We teach people the pillars and the obligations of Salah. We also teach them about those things which invalidate their Salah. So they can stay away from those things. We teach people about the beauty and the sweetness of Iman. And we also teach them about the corruption of sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the major sins, he mentioned the minor sins, he mentioned evil, he mentioned disobedience, he mentioned the drinking of alcohol. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he should teach the people good so they can do it, and he should teach them evil so they can stay away from it. And this is also important when it comes to the tarbiyah of our children. Those people, like for example the new Muslims who came from Al-Kufr and they entered into Islam, they know, by Allah, they know the reality and the beauty of Islam more. And they appreciate the beauty of Islam more than those of us who were brought up as ethnic Muslims. Why? Because they know Kufr. And not only do they know Kufr, they've tasted Kufr. And they know how ugly and repulsive and how corrupting Kufr is. And how it does not bring any happiness to a person. So then when they come to Islam, they know and they feel and they appreciate the beauty of Islam and the sweetness of Al-Islam. Those who were born into Muslim families or as ethnic Muslims, they haven't seen kufr, many of them. May Allah protect us from it. So sometimes they don't realize or appreciate how good Islam is because they didn't feel how bad kufr is. And this is a meaning which Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to allude towards. He used to say, مَنْ لَمْ يُدْرِكْ حَقِيقَةَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ لَنْ يُدْرِكَ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ. That whoever did not taste and comprehend the reality of jahiliyyah, he will never comprehend the reality of al-Islam. If somebody did not taste and know and feel the ugliness of al-kufr and jahiliyyah, he will never truly appreciate the sweetness of al-Iman. So what does this mean in terms of tarbiyah? That when it comes to our children, not only do we order them with goodness, but we have to tell them about evil. So we have to tell them how bad and how disgusting kufr is, and how severe sins are, and how bad a shirk is, and how backward atheism is, and the rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we reward them for the good acts which they do, and at the same time, we tell them about the punishment of Allah regarding the evil which is done. Both of these things are important. So this was all the first advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ittaqillah haythuma kunt." Have taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. The second advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Wa atbi'i sayyi'ata alhasanata tamhuha." That if you do a bad deed, a sin, disobedience to Allah, follow it up by doing a good deed and it will wipe it away. This advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it contains three things: an action, a reaction, and a result. So the action is a sin. The person, he acted in disobedience to Allah. What is the reaction? Either this person can continue doing the sins and he will only destroy himself, or he can react in a different way. And that is that as soon as he fell into the sin, then he does a good deed. So this is now the reaction. If he reacts in this manner, what is the result?
tamhuha. It will be wiped away. As if he never did the sin in the first way. And this advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it also contains the great kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is complete justice? That you should be punished for the sins you do, and you should be rewarded for the good actions you do, the good deeds. This is justice. You do a sin, you are punished. You do a good deed and you are rewarded. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His kindness is even more. That if you did the sin for which you are deserving of the punishment, but then you did a good deed, not only will He reward you for the good deed, but He will also forgive you for the punishment which you did. And this meaning is contained in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That the good deeds, they do away with the bad deeds. Any sins that you do, the good deeds which you do will wipe them away. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَذْنَبُ ذَنْبًا. That when any Muslim who commits a sin, then فَيَتَوَضَّى, then he makes wudu. ثُمَّ يُصَلِّي رَكْعَتَيْنِ, and then he prays two rak'at. إِلَّا غُفِرَ لَهُ, except that sin is forgiven, that sin is wiped away. And in the Sahihain, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he made wudu and then he prayed two rak'at in front of the people. Then he said, فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَتَوَضَّعَ نَحْوَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made this very wudu which I have made. ثُمَّ صَلْعَ رَكَعَتَيْنِ, and then he prayed two rak'at. And then he said, مَنْ تَوَضَّعَ وُضُوءِ هَذَا, whoever performs this wudu which I have performed and prays two rak'at, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, then his previous sins are forgiven. So the doing of good deeds, even the most basic and easy of deeds, how long does it take for a person to make wudu? Is there any difficulty in making wudu? And two rak'at, in which a person recites Surah Al-Ikhlas and Surah Al-Kafirun, the shortest of the Surah of the Quran, it will only take that person maybe 2 or 3 minutes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, his previous sins are forgiven. And this hadith, it also contains a benefit for us, that regardless of how many bad deeds you are doing, how many sins you are doing, don't stop doing the good deeds. Even if you are sinning, continue doing good. Even if you are the worst sinner, then continue upon goodness and keep benefiting the people, because this goodness will wipe away that sin. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, قَدْ عَلِمَ رَبُّنَا أَنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ لَنَا سَيِّئَاتٍ. He said, verily, our Lord who created us, He knew that we will have many sins. And then he would recite, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, that if you stay away from the major sins which you have been prohibited from, نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, then we will forgive and expiate the other evil deeds which you are doing. Meaning, keep doing the good deeds, stay away from the major sins like shirk and sihr and stealing and these major sins, and the smaller evil deeds will keep being wiped away. Now, there is a question here, or there is an issue here, and that is, if a person does a sin and then he follows it up by doing a good deed, does he have to intend in his heart that this good deed which I am doing is for this sin which I did? Or generally speaking, if he does any good deed, then his sin is being wiped away. Some of the ulama, they mentioned that rather a person has to have an intention that this good deed is tawbah for his sin. However, Shaykh ibn Uthmeen rahimullah, he said, Zahirul hadith, that the apparent meaning of this hadith is that a person does not require an intention. وَأَنَّ مُجَرَّدْ فِعْلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْ السَّيِّئَاتِ, and that the mere action of a person doing good deeds, it automatically wipes away the bad deeds. وَهَذَا مِن نِعْمَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَيْنَا, and this is from the blessing of Allah upon us. And this is from his statement, رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي, that my mercy comes before my anger. And also, some of the ulama, they mention that if you're going to do a good deed to wipe away one of your sins, try to make that good deed from the same type as the bad deed which you did. So for example, if you are backbiting one of your brothers, then say something good about him. Praise him in front of the others. Make dua for him bi dhahr al-ghayb. Because you have followed a bad deed by doing a good deed of the similar type, tamhuha, and it will wipe it away. If you stole something, then return that thing and give some sadaqah for the sake of Allah. Then you have followed up the bad deed by doing a good deed from the same type, and it will wipe it away. If you went to a place which is haram, then go to the masjid and stay in the masjid. So just as you went to the haram place, now you have gone to a place which is beloved to Allah. It will wipe it away. If you looked at something which was haram, then follow it up by looking at that which is good, like the Quran, and it will wipe it away. And in the hadith of the Prophet, when a man, he took an oath by other than Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Because when you took an oath by other than Allah, this was a shirk. And the only thing which wipes away a shirk is a tawheed. So when you say La ilaha illallah, this is a tawheed. And then we come to the third admonishment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is Wa khaliqin nas bi khuluqin hasan, and interact with the people in a good way, with noble manners. And these are two different things, al khuluq and al khalq. And the only difference between them is a vowel, the dhamma or the fatha, al khuluq and al khalq. So al khuluq is your nature, but it is hidden, meaning your temperament and your character, your manners and your morals which are inside you. And al-khalq is your nature, but it is what is apparent to the people, your appearance, your color, your what you look like, your hair, your hands, your size, your width, and things like this. And what is good khuluq? What is good manners? Some of the Salaf, I think it was Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimullah, he summarized. He said, Al-Khuluq, it is kafful adha. It is staying away from harming others. Wa badlun nada, and striving to do good for others. Wa sabru ala al-adha, and being patient upon the harms and irritations of others. Wal wajhu al-taliq, and having a smiling, jovial appearance in front of other people. He summarized good manners in these four things. Al-kaf anil adha. Stop irritating and annoying and harming other people. Wa badlul ata, and give and do goodness and benefit other people. Wa sabru ala al-adha, and be patient upon the harms and the irritations of other people. Wa talqul waj, and have a jovial, optimistic outlook in front of others. Jazakallah khair. Also, what is important regarding good manners is that we have to understand that these good manners is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obedience to Allah. And any obedience to Allah has to have the correct niyyah. So only if a person interacts with the people with good manners but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he rewarded. One person, he is nice in front of the people because he wants people to be nice to him. This isn't ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may also be rewarded in this dunya. So he was nice to the people will be nice to him in the matters of the dunya. However, his reward is restricted to the dunya. Another person, he is nice to the people, not because he wants to please the people, but because he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is good with the people because Allah has ordered him to be good. And he doesn't care whether people respond to him with goodness or with evil, he remains upon the principle of good manners. So he speaks the truth regardless of whether people lie about him or not. He deals with justice regardless of whether people oppress him or not. He keeps the ties of kinship even if his relations and his relatives harm him and they break the ties of kinship. This is the husnul khuluq, which is ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is more important when a person is giving da'wah to the people. This same hadith, it was said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu when he was going to Yemen to go give da'wah to the people. He was a mufti, he was a qadi, he was a da'i, he was an alim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him with this. Ittaqillah, fulfill the rights of Allah by having taqwa of him. Fulfill your rights by following up your bad deed by doing a good deed. And then deal with the people with good manners. Because this will make your da'wah successful. And how many ahadith do we have regarding good manners? Many, many ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The most perfect of people in their iman are those who are most perfect in their manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لَيُدْرِكُ أَوْ لَيُدْرِكَ بِحُسُنِ خُلُقِهِ دَرَجَاتِ الصَّائِمِ وَالْقَائِمِ. That a person, a believer, he will reach the level and the ranks of the fasting people and the praying people just by his good manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَثْقَلُ الْأَشْيَاءَ عَلَى الْمِيزَانِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Verily, the heaviest thing on the scales on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ is good manners. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to polish and to perfect the noble good morals and manners. So the point is that these three advice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us, and how beautiful is the religion of Al-Islam. Fulfill the right of Allah through at-taqwa. Fulfill the right of your own self by doing good deeds. Don't worry about your bad deeds. Keep doing your good deeds. And fulfill the rights of the people by treating them in a good manner. Of course, the bad deeds, you make tawbah, you are sorrowful, and you stay away from the major sins. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam. And I apologize for the length of the lessons more than it is usually. Jazakumullah khair.